Yes? Can we praise the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, we can do better than that. Can we praise the Lord?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful song. Oh, man. God is good. God is good.
Amen.
It is great to be here today. Oh, maybe you don't feel excited, but I am. It is good to be here in the house of God and just spend some time with my brothers and sisters, with the sons and daughters of God. Keep that in mind. We are the sons and daughters of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, I believe that we are living in difficult times. Yes? When you watch the news, we listen to the radio station, or you read the newspaper, even you can go on your cell phone, you will notice that every day, every single day, there's just something wrong around us. Things just getting worse and worse. It's just bad news, sad news, terrible news. There's something going on really, really wrong around us. I don't know how many of you saw the news a couple of weeks ago. About 42 Mexican students were burned alive in Mexico. Terrible. When you think about the Ebola virus that is going on, right? It had killed more than 2,500 people just in Western Africa. You know, it's terrible. Think about domestic violence, emotional abuse that we have right here in our neighborhood, maybe. I think it was about a month ago, we learned the news that 4 people got killed in Gilderland. You guys remember that? A Chinese family, a 37-year-old man, a woman of 39, 2 boys of 10 and 7. Just right here. It's about, 30 minutes from here? Maybe less? 35, 25 minutes from here? So when we think about the pain, the suffering that is going on around, there's something that just comes to my mind. That is that we are in trouble. We are in trouble. Educational system in our nation is in trouble. We're always trying to find, as a parent, a good district for our kids. And we do a search, and we do, you know, all kinds of stuff to find a good school district for our kids. But we know that something's wrong with the school system. We know that in all levels of the government, there is something that is not right. We cannot even trust our own leaders. There's something going on. There's also something wrong in our family. Yes, we have problems. We have problems in our family. So if we have problems in our family, we're also going to have problems in our church. If we're going to have problems in our church, we're also going to have problems in our community. So we are in trouble. So when we think about this news, all this that is going on around, we need to think about what kind of relationship do we have with Jesus. And in times like this, we need to have the right relationship with him. Let me ask you something. Do you know what Jesus does when we are in trouble? Have you ever wondered that? What Jesus does when we are in trouble? I would like to share with you today 5 steps that Jesus takes when we are in trouble. 5 steps that Jesus takes when we are in trouble. And my topic for today, in trouble, but not alone. In trouble, but not alone. Tell somebody next to you, we are in trouble, but not alone. We are in trouble, but not alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your company. We thank you so much for your presence, and because you care for us. Today, Father, I ask you to help understand your word. Help us to be relevant to us and to our needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please turn your Bible in the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 51. If you have a cell phone, you can use it there. You have your iPad. Just make sure that you have your Bible with it, okay? No, your Facebook or anything like that. Your Bible, right? Now, I know we have a mic somewhere in there, wireless mic. So I want to ask two persons to read for me. There's about six verses that we're going to read. So I want to ask two persons to read three of those, and then the other person can read the other three. Verse 45, Mark 6, verse 45. Who would like to see? Who would like to read from 45, 46, and then 47? And the next person will read the next one. Yes, go ahead, brother.
Mark 6, 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land.
Where's 48? Who has that? All right.
And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walk upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saw unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.
Yeah, verse 51, please.
Yes, okay. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's see the context of this story for a minute, and then we go back to it, all right? See, one of the things that I like the book of Mark is that we see Jesus in action. You notice that there's some words that Mark used to describe what Jesus is doing. Jesus is moving. Jesus is going from town to town. He's teaching. He's teaching from village to village. Jesus is in action. Jesus was not lazy, amen? He was not lazy, and he's not lazy right now. He's always working. So he's giving health to the sick, life to the dead, hope to the hopeless, a strength to the weak, those ones who feel weak, and salvation to the sinners. So Jesus was moving. When you read chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, Jesus called himself a prophet without honor. Probably some of you remember that part of the story. We are in chapter 6, right? So from verse 1 through 6, Jesus called himself a prophet without honor. Jesus is at home in Nazareth. So he was trying to show compassion and kindness for the people. But the Bible said that he could not do any miracles there except lay his hand on a few sick people. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. You know, let me explain something, that the fact that Jesus did not perform any miracles in Nazareth was not because he did not have the power to do it, but that he chose not to because of their lack of faith. You know, sometimes Jesus wants to do something for us, but sometimes we lack of faith and trust. We cannot see that what Jesus is trying to do for us. Now, when you see verse 7 through 13, Jesus sends out disciples to preach two by two. And he gave them power and authority to preach the gospel and rebuke the evil spirit. Verse 7 through 13, Jesus sent out the disciples to preach two by two. Think about that. Are we preaching two by two? Or are we preaching at all? So it's a good example for us to to take in consideration. From verse 14 to 29, we learn that John the Baptist was beheaded. You guys remember that story? So it was a sad time for Jesus, because John was Jesus' what? Cousin, right? So Jesus was, you know, there was trouble. There was bad news, sad news. When you read verse 30 to 44, we find Jesus that feed more than 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You guys remember that story. And it's right after this moment, after this miracle, that Jesus, that this story takes place. When we go back to verse 45 of chapter 6, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. It's interesting. There is something going on with the disciples. They noticed that Jesus was able to multiply the food. Jesus was able to provide for everyone. And Ellen G. White says in the Desire of the Ages that they got really excited. The disciples got really excited when they noticed that Jesus can do so much with so little. They thought, well, this is the time for us to crown Jesus as our king. This is the time for us to go and war and battle against our Romans. This is the time to be free. So Jesus saying to them, you know what? You need to drop the idea. You need to let go of that plan. Let it go. Let it go. And I'm not talking about the Disney song either, no? Sometimes we need to let go of our own ideas. Sometimes we need to drop our own agendas and just ask Jesus for help. So Jesus asked them, you know, go to the other side. But why, Jesus? This is a good time. This is a good time. We were waiting for so long. This is a perfect time for us and go and just fight against the Romans. The plan is perfect, Jesus. Think about this. If somebody is dying in the battle, you can pray for him and that person's going to get better. So this is a good plan, Jesus. Come on, if we don't have enough food, I'm sure you can provide for us. Jesus, come on, this is a good idea. Please, Jesus, this is the time. And Jesus said, you need to go to the other side. You need to drop your own plans, your own agenda. It's so great when we listen to him. It's so great when we listen to Jesus, yes? When he said, you know what, I know the house that you're seeing right now is a nice house, but that's not the house that I had for you. Jesus is telling you, you need to drop your own agenda. You need to go to the other side. Maybe sometimes we as a young, sometimes we say, oh, you know what, I like that girl. She's so beautiful. She looks so nice. But Jesus says, you need to go to the other side. That's not the one that I had for you. I have better plans for you. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Sometimes you say, well, I want to get a car. I love that car. That car is good for me. But Jesus said, no, I don't think that's it. You think you need a bigger car than that? Sometimes we need to think that the plan, you know, we need to think that Jesus' plans are always better for us. Amen. Sometimes maybe we don't like it, but you know what? At the end, we're going to appreciate what Jesus has for us. So Jesus' plans are always better for us. So the disciples were confused. Why? It was a perfect solution to their problems, to their freedom, to the Romans. Why do we have to go to the other side? Why do we have to do this? I'm talking today about the 5 steps that Jesus takes when we are in trouble. The disciples, they were about to get in trouble. Actually, just the way they were thinking, there was just something was not right with them. And Jesus noticed that. So the first step, verse 46, it's right there, verse 46. After leaving then, he went up to the mountain to what?
Pray.
To pray. First steps that Jesus takes when we are in trouble is that he prays for us. Amen. Oh, come on. You don't get excited about that, that Jesus prays for us? Right now, Jesus is praying for us. Amen. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for the whole church. For those who are here, for those who are not, Jesus is praying for us. I mean, that's what we live as Adventists, all right? Jesus is where right now, to this point? Where's Jesus is? Doing what? He is praying for us on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus, because you care for us. He's praying for us, interceding for us. Intercession. We talk about this. You know, we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for each other. But when you intercede for somebody, it's really important. Because intercession involves taking God, holding God's will, and refusing to let it go until his will will come to pass. Sometimes we need to pray and just hold and wait until God's will become true in our life. We need to hold. We need to pray for each other. Jesus was praying. Now, was Jesus praying for himself or he was praying for the disciples? Jesus was praying for the disciples. Jesus was praying for the disciples. I need to ask this morning, how many people do you pray for? Do you have a prayer list when you go back home? I mean, we heard the needs. We know that there's some members who are sick, who are in the hospital. We know there's some people who are not in church today. Are we praying for them? Are we really praying for them? Well, I'm glad to say this morning that Jesus is praying for me. I don't know if you're praying for me, but I want you to know that I am praying for you. But I know that Jesus also is praying for me. I'm just happy to know that Jesus prays for me. So it's the first step that Jesus takes when we are in trouble. He prays for us. He prays for us. Verse 47, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. Verse 48, the next step that Jesus takes, he saw the disciples straining the oars because the wind was against them. Steps number two, Jesus sees our trouble. You guys are, what's going on today? Jesus sees our trouble. He sees our trouble. He sees our needs. He knows what's going on with us. He knows exactly what's going on with us. He sees our troubles. So you think that you are alone, fighting. And you feel like, you know what, there's no hope for me. Nobody can see what I'm going through. But you know what? Jesus sees your trouble. He sees what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. And I like that song that says that he knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my fears. He knows what I'm going through. He knows. He knows when my friends are gone, when my family don't like me, when I feel like, you know, I don't want to be here. There's no more hope. I just want to get out of here. I just can't take anymore. Jesus sees my trouble. Verse 48, he saw the disciples. I'm glad that Jesus sees me. I'm glad that Jesus sees my trouble. You know, I'm here preaching, you know, but I'm always like to watch my kids and see what they're doing. You know, I need to see if they're giving hard time to my wife. And I ask one of the elders or somebody, hey, go help my wife. She's in trouble. But you know, what Jesus does, what God does for us, he sees what we're going on. He always sees what's going on. When we move, when we wake up, he's there. He sees exactly what we're going through. So Jesus, step number two, he sees our trouble. Let's keep reading. Verse 48, he saw the disciples strain the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them. That means that Jesus come to us. Step number three, Jesus come to us. He looked for us. He searched for us. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter how far you have gone, Jesus come and look for you. He searched for you. Are you happy to hear that today? Amen. That Jesus just come to us. He seek for us. He look for us. He search for us. The Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the what? The lost. Thank you, Jesus, because you came to save me.
Amen.
He looked for us. About four watch of the night. You know, four watch of the night means that is the time is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's what four watch of the night means. Between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And it's, you know, at that time, it's really dark. How many of you stay up until 3 a.m. sometimes? Don't lie to me now. Come on. I mean, not too often anymore. Okay, but sometimes, you know, we stay up, especially those who have babies. You know how it is when the babies start crying. And you normally say, you know, I stay up last night until 3 a.m. because my baby was, you know, acting up. He was crying all night. And sometimes when we have a really hard, hard homework, it's really hard to do. We normally say, you know, that homework was so hard. And I stayed up until 3 a.m. last night. So we normally use that 3 a.m. to say that something is not right. That we really have a bad night. 3 a.m. I believe most of you are sleeping at that time, right? Unless you work, you know, you have maybe that job that you have to stay over and you have to work until 3 a.m. But normally we're sleeping, right? We are resting in our, you know, our bed, we are heater, everything is nice. So at 3 a.m. we are just resting. You know, we're sleeping, deep, deep sleep. Will you be surprised that at 3 a.m. while you're sleeping, there are people who are up doing all kinds of stuff. At 3 a.m. where you're sleeping, there is probably a mother who is crying because she don't know how to take care of their own kids, or their children. While you're sleeping at 3 a.m., maybe there is a father who is crying because he don't know what to say to his wife. He don't know how to react, how to be nice to her. He just doesn't know what to do with his wife anymore. At 3 a.m. where you're sleeping, there's a husband and wife who are fighting and arguing and just want to get, they just want to kill each other because they just can't get along anymore. While we're sleeping, there's people who are suffering. There are people who are in pain. While you're sleeping at 3 a.m., there's so much going on. Maybe there's a young lady from a church or from a community that you know that is desperate because she just found out she's pregnant. She's just pregnant and she don't even know who the father is. All this is going on while you're sleeping. All this is going on while you are in bed resting. But there is so much going on around us. There's so much going on around our, among our church members. And we don't know. We don't know who cried last night. We don't know who went to bed hungry last night. We don't know any of that stuff. 3 a.m., people are suffering, crying. There's just so much going on. There's just people who go to the alcohol, to the drugs, because they think that's their only hope. People are stealing or doing some kind of crazy stuff because they don't know anything better. While we're sleeping, there's a lot of people up, suffering, struggling, trying to find a way, trying to find hope, freedom. There is so much going on. 3 a.m. seems too late for someone else. It's too late. 3 a.m. is too late. I cannot be up until 3 a.m. It's too late. Well, you know what? Jesus do something interesting here. He come to us. It don't matter how late it is. He always come to you. It don't matter if it's 3 a.m. or 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. He is just there because he cares for you. He loves you. He cares for us. It's good to know that he comes to us. When you think that there's no hope for you, 3 a.m., there's suffering. There's a lot going on. People who are crying, tears going to their face. The pillow is the only hope. The pillow is the only result that they have. It's the only resource that they have. They can hold on to that pillow and say, well, you know, let me just cry because tomorrow when I go to church, I don't want people to see me like this. Let me just cry out to the pillow today. But you know what? I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is there. At 3 a.m. when you're crying, Jesus is there. And the pastor is not there. Elders are not there. Your friends are not there. But Jesus is. He is there. He is there. I remember it was my first year, my second semester in my college when I went to Puerto Rico to do my bachelor degree in theology. It was my second semester, my first year. A bunch of friends asked me to go and do a snorkeling. How many of you do that before? Snorkeling, yes? It's fun, right? It's good. Well, but I need to confess something this morning to you. I don't really like the water. I don't like water. Yeah, and before you start thinking, it's not that I don't like to take a bath or anything like that. It's just that I don't like to swim. I don't feel comfortable in the rivers or in the, you know, it's not my thing. I mean, I know you're going to be surprised. But what are you talking about, Pastor? You are from the island. I know. But, hey, I'm confessing to you this morning that I don't like waters. So they asked me to go. Let's go swim. Let's go to the snorkeling. I was like, okay, sounds fun. But I was, you know, something back in my mind was like, but you don't know how to swim. What are you doing? Well, you know, when we're young, we think we can do anything, right? We think we can do the impossible. And plus, there were some ladies there. And you know how boys get when we saw ladies around us. Oh, come on now. Don't look at me like that. You know how you used to get. Yes. So I was like, no, I cannot look bad in front of the ladies. I got to show that I'm only capable to go and swim. God will help me. I was praying, but I was scared. I was like, okay. So I got my suit. You know, I put the snorkel, you know, the diving mask, the tube. So I was ready. I was ready. And I asked, okay, what I need to do? You know, some of my friends, okay, tell me what to do because, you know, I don't really like the water. So just tell me what to do. Okay, this is easy. Don't worry. And I was like, oh, this does not sound good. See, when people say don't worry, that's when you need to worry. Oh, don't worry, Claudia, we got you back. Like, this is not good. This is not going to be good. I was thinking that something's about to happen, but there was ladies there. So I need to prove myself. Right, let's go. The only thing that you need to do is just breathe. Just breathe, just, you know, swim and breathe, and you're going to enjoy. You're going to have a good time. I was like, and I asked, that's it? Yes, that's it. I was like, but this is easy. Of course it is easy. So go ahead. I was like, okay, let's go. So I started swimming, right? And it was beautiful. You know, the water was perfect. It was clear water. It was nice. You know, I saw the fishes, you know, different color. It was beautiful. Everything was nice. Oh, man, it was beautiful. I saw Nemo. Right. Oh, Nemo, huh? Why are you Nemo? So it was beautiful. So I was enjoying myself, right? But I forgot one thing. Guess what? How to what? To swim. How to breathe. And what do you think will happen to me next after that? You start doing what? Panic, right? But after that, after you panic, and then you start what? I went like this. I started sinking. I was like, what's going on? And I don't know, when you know that something's about to happen, when you know that something is wrong, there's something in your mind that go. You see your whole life right in front of you. You guys know what I'm talking about? When you know that something's about to happen, that you're sure that you're going to die, you see your whole life right there in front of you. It happens to me. I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about too. So while I was struggling, I saw my entire life back and forth. I was thinking, you know, in my mind, while I was thinking, you know, I saw my mother taking an airplane from JFK going to PR, to Puerto Rico. This was in my mind. I saw my mother taking an airplane going to PR because, you know, I was dead. I saw my body, you know, there in the chapel, and people were crying for me. Oh, he was so good. What happened to him? But why he went to swim? He know that, why he was so good. I saw that in my mind. I saw my friends, my friends from theology department, they were crying. They were saying, I thought they were using me in their sermons as an illustration. I was thinking, this is not good. I think I'm about to die here. So I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have kids. I'm never going to be a pastor. See, I'm done. This is over for me. That's what I thought. So when I was without energy, I was about to give up, somebody grabbed me and said, you know what? He pulled me up and said, just breathe. We are here next to you. You are not alone. We are here. Sometimes we feel like that, you know, in life. There is so much going on. There is a lot of trouble. There is a lot of situations that we are sometimes. And we think that, you know what? I'm about to sink. I'm going down. I'm about to die. It was late, but Jesus came. Jesus was there with the disciples, just as my friend was there with me. See, sometimes you have so much trouble and there's so much pressure on you, and you think there's nobody cares for you. You think that, you know what, I'm here all by myself, but Jesus is there with you. Don't let your troubles and you all the situations, block that thought that Jesus is there. I know sometimes you feel sad. Sometimes we feel like, you know what? I just came, Pastor. I cannot continue anymore. But Jesus says, you know, I'm here. I am here. So Jesus went out to them. Step number four. Number three, Jesus come to us. No matter how late it is, Jesus will always come to us, look for us. He searched for us. He cared for us. Think about this. The storm was there. The sky was dark. The wind was strong. But Jesus saw that his disciples. Jesus saw, you know, that there is my sons there. There is my brothers there. I need to go and do something for them. They're in need. So I cannot look anymore. I cannot just stand here and say, well, you guys take care. No, I need to do something. So Jesus take action. So he do something. When we are in trouble, always Jesus, he's going to do something for us. Don't feel bad. Don't feel sad, because Jesus is about to do something. Oh, he knows when he's going to do it. Don't you worry about that. He knows when he's going to do it. The only thing that you need to do is just hold on. And wait. Be patient. Because we're going to have sometimes fires in our lives. We have to go through the storm sometimes. We have to go through the storm, through the fire. Whether you like it or not, we're going to go through the fires and through the storms of lives. But Jesus says that he's going to be there for us. He's going to be there with us. So don't be afraid. He is there with you. He's going to be there for us. 3 a.m., he come to us. Step number three. Step number four. Verse 50. Because they all saw him, and they were terrified. And then he did what? Verse 50? He did what after they saw Jesus? They did what Jesus did. It's right there. He what? He spoke to him. Jesus talked to us. Oh, you guys are not feeling it today. Jesus talked to us. In the middle of the storm, he talked to us. Different ways. Maybe somebody came this morning and Jesus already talked to you where Rachel was singing. Amen? Amen. Maybe somebody came this morning and Jesus already talked to you in the Sabbath school lesson. You need to open your mind to your heart to listen to the word of God. But Jesus talked to us. I'm just happy to know that he talked to me. Yeah. Every morning, every day, all the time. He talked to you. Are you talking to him? Yeah. Are you talking to him? Yeah. Are you listening to him? Amen. He's talking to us. And listen what he says. He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be what?
Afraid.
Don't be afraid. You are not alone. I am here with you. I am here with you. Your friends are not here, but you know what? I am here. Your wife probably is gone, but you know what? I am here with you. Your husband is not where to be found, but you know what? I am here with you. Yeah. I am here with you. Your family don't take care for you, but you know what? I am here with you, for you, yeah. When you need me. I am here all the time, every day. He is there. Praise God, because he's there. I am here. It is I. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid for? Sometimes we get afraid for anything, you know, for everything. We're afraid. We're so afraid sometimes. Even sometimes we are so afraid that we don't like to help others. You know, we are paralyzed. We don't know what to do. But Jesus says, you know what? Don't be afraid. I am here. It is I. Take courage. It is I. See, when everything seems lost, when you feel there is no more hope, just when you are about to give up, Jesus shows up. And he tells you, hold on, because I won't let you go. Hold on, because he won't let me go. Oh, Jesus, he is so good to us. He is so great to us. Jesus is my friend, you know. He is my friend and faithful companion. What about you? Jesus is my shelter in the midst of the rock. It's Jesus. I'm talking about my Jesus. I don't know about you. But I know that when I'm going through storms in my life, I know that Jesus is there for me. Can you say the same thing? I know that Jesus is my protector. My protector, my family protector. He is there for me. He is my helper. He is my provider. Yes, sometimes we're going through struggles in life. Sometimes we're probably going to struggle with our food, with our money. But you know what? Jesus is there. He provides for us. Remember that time when you thought that there's no food in our house this week. There's not going to be food for about 2 weeks. And somehow Jesus provides for you. You thought there was no money. Everything's going to be lost, but Jesus provides for you. Somehow, some way, he provides for you the money that you need. So Jesus is there. He is real, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you today that he is my provider. Every single day, he provides for me, for my family. Remember that day when you thought that the doctor said that you were so sick that you're never going to get better. You're never going to get better. But Jesus says, you know what? I am here. I am here. There is no time for you to go yet. I am here. There is no time for you to go to sleep yet. I am here. There is so much for you to do here in church. I need you here. I'll let you know when you need to go. But you're here now because I am here for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, because you always provide for me. He provides for a church. He provides for our needs. He's there, brothers and sisters. He is there. Jesus is my peace. He is my peace. When everything is going down in this world, when everything in the community is wrong, he is my peace. Amen. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
I love when I go to some of the church member home and I feel there's peace there. There is joy when I go to some of the members home. I feel like something is different. It's not because they have the bigger, the largest TV. Or because they have the new iPhone 6 or anything like that. It's because they have Jesus there. It's Jesus who makes all the difference in the world. Jesus is my peace. He is my peace. For every crisis, there is a Christ. Remember that. For every crisis, there is a Christ. Your friend. My friend. Step number 5, verse 51. Then he did what? He reached the boat. He climbed to the boat. We then, and the wind died down. Step number 5. Jesus wants to be in your life. See, everything was going on. The storm was there. Everything was dark. The wind was strong. Everything was just bad. But Jesus was talking to them while he was in the storm. The disciple was in the boat, and Jesus was outside the boat, but he was talking to them. Now, when the storm really calmed down? When? When Jesus talked to them? No. When that happened? When he came to the boat. If you really want to be free of the storms in your life, you need to let Jesus come into your life. You need to let Jesus come to your heart, into your mind. I mean, think about it. We try so much for so long. We're trying to get better ourselves. You know, we read the good books. We go online. We do seminars. We do this. We do that. We try. It's good stuff, but it seems it's not working for us. So if you're tired of trying everything, I want you to try Jesus. Try Jesus and everything will change. Let Jesus come to your life. Let Jesus come to your home. Let Jesus be in your mind and your heart. Take control. We all need Jesus, brothers and sisters. We all need Jesus. You know what? We are in trouble, but not alone. We are in trouble, but not alone. We're going to have storms in life, but we are not alone. Sometimes it's going to get dark outside, but you know what? We are not alone. Sometimes we're going to lose good friends. Sometimes we're going to lose our best friends, our families. But you know what? We are not alone. We are in trouble, but not alone. We are in trouble, but not alone. Jesus is there. He is here right now. Can you feel it? Can you hear Jesus talking to you right now, saying, you know what, brother and sister, I got you back. Don't worry, I am here. I promise you that I'm going to be with you every single day. I will not let you go. You know, alone, he is there. When you go to school, he's going to be with you. When you're going to work, he's going to be with you. When you come to church, he's going to be with us. He's going to be with us. He's here every single day. Oh, I'm glad to know. I am in trouble, but in my trouble I have joy. Amen. Because Jesus is with me. Amen. In the storm, he is with me. In the fire, he is with me. In my tears, he is with me. At 3 a.m. in the morning, he is with me, with my kids and my wife. He is here, brothers and sisters. And I see Jesus in you. When you are kind with somebody, I know that I'm not alone. I see Jesus in you. When you take care of somebody's need, that person can see that Jesus is there. Oh, I'm so happy to know that I am in a church that care about Jesus. I am here with brothers and sisters who knows that Jesus is going to be with us. It's all about him, brothers and sisters. It's all about Jesus. He is here for us. Take a good courage. Don't be afraid. It is Jesus who is here. We are in trouble, but not alone. Amen. God bless. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much once again because you care for us. Even though sometimes we're going to be in trouble, sometimes we're going to feel alone, but we thank you so much because we are not. You are always, always with us. Every day, let us remember that. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.